May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So honestly, one of the most precious times for me in our liturgy is the blessing of the children. When we invite the kids to come back in for Eucharist, and sometimes they run in, sometimes they're carried in, sometimes they're burped their way in. Remember that Easter? The blessing I normally use is extemporaneous. Usually use some of the same words, but I love our children and I love that moment. And I always end the blessing with a pretty traditional, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, God three in one. The first time I heard a child repeating this blessing to another, I almost died of joy. That's what gives priests joy, right? Hearing children take as their own the words of blessing that they hear in the church and sharing them with another. I felt born from above. Those are the moments, I think, in our lives when we feel renewed, refreshed, connected to our purpose, when we know that what we do matters. And when I hear children blessing one another, I know that they know that the Trinity, the God, the three in one, is part of who they are and how they are growing up to know God and understand God, even if they don't understand every single thing that they're saying or repeat. They know the Trinity. But as you know, knowing and comprehending and explaining are different things entirely. John Wesley, the great Anglican and founder of, attributed founder of Methodism, right? In a moment that was not so warm and fuzzy, said, "Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and then I will show you a man that can comprehend the triune God." So he was basically saying that we human beings have a hard time truly understanding God. I believe that was an admonition not to shame, but to remain humble in our faith and our attempts to share what we know deep in our bones and our souls and our hearts and what we claim as the absolute truth. It's an admonition to remain humble in how we explain the God that we love. Penelope Mark Stewart put it this way: when it comes to a description of this God who is love, even the greatest theologian is left babbling sometimes. For human language can never ultimately capture God's essence. But that's no reason not to try. God is not offended at our metaphors as long as we don't mistake the picture for the truth. So if you try to use the metaphors that you learn in Sunday school about the three in one, the ice and the water and the vapor, or all the things that people say, and some other Episcopalian helpfully tries to correct you, well, just say it's okay. God is not offended at our metaphors, as long as we don't mistake the picture for the truth. We must remain humble always at how we express our interpretation, our experience, our knowing of God. Some call the Trinity Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Some call the Trinity Love, Lover, and Beloved. Some Source, Wellspring, and Living Water, all trying to express the dynamism of new life found in the Trinity. And so on this feast day of the Holy Trinity, we are invited to imagine a God who is not solely beyond our world or over against it, condemning, judging, shaming, but a God who is in and for our world, who sacrifices God's self, who out of love gave God's self, God's Son, God's Spirit, to give us life, to renew our life, to give us a sense of being born anew when we are open to the gift of God's Spirit and God's light and God's mercy, surrounding us in love and communion, quenching us in life and love and community. Since biblical times, people have experienced God as dynamic. In the Bible, God is experienced and described as Creator, primogenitor, as among us, as inspiring and present in ways that build community, as Abba, as Father, as Son, and Holy Spirit. The blessed, dynamic, life-giving, community-building divinity of the Holy Trinity invites us to love each other in spirit and truth, in word and deed. And if there is a logic within the Blessed Trinity, it is this: to give and give again. For God so loved the world that God gives and gives again and invites us to give and give again, to be renewed in our sense of service and sacrifice and love. The Brazilian theologian Leonardo Boff invites us to conceive of God as three persons in a fellowship of love, an eternal mutual indwelling. Don't let your eyes glaze over. An eternal mutual indwelling into which every creature is invited. The radically interdependent nature of the triune God expresses God in terms of relationship, communion, and mutual indwelling. And this is a model for the church, for society, and really for all our relationships. That our dynamic triune God invites us to model our lives by being in relationship, in communion, and mutual care. That dynamic, giving mutuality is my dream for our church, always. It's my dream that through much blessing, I see realized every day, even when we're down. So many people have had to deal with the PTSD of the storms this week, of the very real cleanup and mold remediation and limbs down and all the things that go along with living in Houston. And that can tire us because it is exhausting. And yet, through our care and nurture of each other, our calls and cards and showing up, we can feel born again into service, even as we shake off or live through or work through our very real trauma from these storms. Just today, even though we know it's a long weekend where people take vacations, my dream of church is realized amongst you, and I wanted to take this occasion to say that I am just so proud, and I just love you so much, each and every one of you, whether I express it consistently or not. But look at what we're doing today, just at coffee hour, right? Our demand for our sandwich makers every day, we show up every weekday and serve meals to those who come searching for sack dinner. And every week it's hard to keep up because the demand gets greater and greater. So for the third Sunday in a row, we're making sandwiches at coffee hour. For the first Sunday, we're participating in the Vidas Robadas, Stolen Lives Memorial, where we're creating a memorial to victims of gun violence in Harris County. So those of you who aren't making sandwiches will be in Fellowship Hall, will be in the Smith Room, writing the names of actual neighbors who we want to remember. We'll also be sharing the stories that we tell each other through a book called Experiencing God, Life Stories of Episcopalians. My dad has a chapter in that book, and we have some that we'll be selling and signing, which, just to keep it simple, we round it up. And the rest of that couple of dollars, if you buy the book, goes to our sandwich maker ministry. We're always thinking of ways to serve, to be in relationship, to share our story, to know that we are mutually interdependent and we cannot live one without the other. There's probably a bunch of other things going on, but that's enough. Yesterday, we celebrated the life of the longest living member of Trinity, who died recently at 98. She had been a member for decades. And it may have been during my sermon, but she would be entering the church on her walker slowly but surely. And God pity the fool who would be sitting in her seat, right? Up front. She was small but mighty. And that takes so much for a church that is very much a community, a do-it-yourself community. The liturgy takes scores of people to put together. The reception, it takes lots of people working hours to set up the flowers and the food and the tables and wash the linens. We don't outsource that stuff. And what a beautiful, beautiful expression of community that her family felt yesterday. My friends, this is my dream of church. You all showing up, blessing each other, loving each other, sharing your stories and your talents in the name of the God who gives us life and asks us to continue to give, because that is the way that we are given life as well. Today we're also honoring graduating seniors and our Sunday school teachers and Just in case that wasn't enough, we are having a fabulous choral evensong to celebrate our feast day. So it's a lot, but it is a lot that keeps us out of ourselves and in communion with our God and with each other. It is dynamic giving and love which church inspires and as an expression of faithfulness amidst the awesome and troublesome mysteries of this life. One of the things I read every morning, one of the quotes that give me spiritual refreshment is from Catherine of Siena. And she wrote, "You, O eternal Trinity, are a deep sea into which the deeper I enter, the more I find. And the more I find, the more I seek. You, eternal Trinity, are my creator, and I am the work of your hands. And I know through the new creation which you have given me in the blood of your Son that you are enamored of the beauty of your workmanship." So yes, today's a little bit of a love letter to the Trinity and to you all, Trinity. Maybe having come back from vacation, I could just see clearly how wonderful and blessed this community is. And I wanted to say it because we're so busy all the time. And this feast day is the day to say it. And I pray that we, like the child I overheard blessing another, bless each other in the name of the three in one and one in three, the Blessed Trinity. Amen.